There was one class of Central Baptist Church that has given us three ordained ministers in this church, Scott and Derek and Wayne. And it's our privilege this morning to have Wayne Morgan, Jr., come and share what God's laid upon his heart. I don't know what that is. I didn't ask. I usually don't. I'm as excited to find out what God lays on these guys' hearts as the next person. And I just have the privilege today of introducing to you one of your own missionaries, Wayne Morgan, Jr., and whatever God has put on your heart, you share with us.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Baker. Good morning. Here's what I would like.
Try that again, Wayne. I think they're safe.
I was thinking that, but I was thinking I usually work with teenagers, and I thought old people can't do it as good as teenagers. They're all tired and worn out. They're like, good morning. They only had one cup of coffee this morning because they had to get to church. So, okay, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's much better. All right, still not like a junior high camp, but that's all right. It's all right. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to look around at the people around you, okay? Just look around a little bit and then shake somebody's hand and go, man, you are just normal. Do it right now. And you're like, wow, you are, you know, some of us are a little below normal, some of us are a little, but we're all in this range of normal. And Pastor Baker was very gracious to say, I'm ordained. That means that I know a lot of stuff. But honestly, truthfully, we are all pursuing Christ, plain and simple. Some of us have done it for a length of time, and we have this really, really good rhythm. Others of us trip and fall and stumble, and we're on our way. And this morning, I would like to just kind of echo 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or actually chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, as God's fellow worker, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. As God's fellow worker, as Wayne Morgan Jr. stands up in front of you this morning, I don't want you to see Reverend Wayne Morgan Jr., cancer defeater. That's not me. I'm a tall, skinny, white guy who loves Jesus, who's a dad, who's a husband, and did about 80 miles an hour to get here on time this morning. Figuratively speaking. I am a man who struggles with sin. I am a man who is saved but for the grace of God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 12, he says, I can't remember how it says it in the New King James Version, but in the NIV it says, if we are out of our mind. I like that. If we're out of our mind, it's for the sake of Christ. And so maybe you sit there this morning and you're like, dude, you are not normal. You are in this realm of out of your mind, okay? You're a little beyond the status quo Christian. You're a little crazy, all right? Just plain and simple. I hope that you don't see someone who is super spiritual, who is somebody who has never had any battles in their life. Do not forget, but for the grace of God, I should be in the grave right now. Do not forget that it is not Wayne Morgan's ability to strategize to develop a way to beat cancer. It was this church and hundreds of other churches praying for me that show that God still fixes broken stuff. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, we don't look at the world any longer like we used to before, because we know that our God takes things that are broken and he reconciles them to himself. I'm not who I used to be because Jesus has transformed me. And it says, before you knew Jesus, you looked at the world with that complete, utter, there's no hope. Or maybe there's hope, but it's hope inside of me. And you know what? I got to the point a long time ago where I said, oh, yeah, I've got hope inside of me. No, I know that inside of me there is nothing worthy except for Jesus Christ reached down while I was still a sinner. While I was afraid and insecure and didn't want to do what was right, and I had just committed that sin, I was so nervous about everybody else finding out about. And then that alone moment, that is when the Creator of the universe saw me and said, Father, I will die for that. That's what I believe. And because I believe that, I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And sometimes I'm a great ambassador. And other times I really need help. But I'm a co-laborer with you. I'm not just a man who you send money to as a missionary. I work right alongside of you. Here in the United States with a group of people who desperately need to know the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And so as we get started, some of you may not know, June 1st, 2013, I took a role with National Network of Youth Ministries, which I no longer work for Youth for Christ now. Now I work as a regional coordinator for National Network of Youth Ministries. And here is our fancy picture. And we put the picture together because Joshua now is an official Morgan. So Joshua Harrison Morgan. He's the little white African running around. He's got the African suit like Taylor has. After 2 years of foster care with him, he is now adopted into our family. And there again, I don't want you to see, oh, wow, I could never foster care. Are you kidding me? You could. Because apart from the grace of God, we could never foster care. But there are times in life where you're just going, God, I know that this is what you want us to do, but it's crazy. Why did you let us even start down this path? Because he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And we get distracted about a lot of stuff. And a lot of that distraction is sin. And some of that distraction is just plain old distraction, keeping you away from what you're designed to do. And so with National Network of Youth Ministry, what I would like you to see is a whole bunch of normal people trying to pursue God and being distracted by the world around us. We are youth workers and we are pastors and we are fellow laborers with you. And here's the need. In Luzerne County, my county alone, from 2000 to 2010, the people who've walked away from organized religion is about 14,000 people. Actually, this statistic was put in the Chicago Times as Luzerne County is a hotbed for evangelical Christians. And I'm like, what? Do they even know what's going on here? Yes. Evangelical Protestant churches went up 10,000 people. The other is the Islamic faith. The Islamic faith has gone up almost 2,000 people. But we have lost 14,000 people from going to church. And here's what I hear all the time. You guys think you're so much better than everybody else. I'm like, dude, you just don't get it. I don't think I'm better than anybody. Actually, I probably think I'm worse than you, and I admit that I'm worse than you. The difference is that Jesus Christ loves me no matter what. And it's my job to love you. And here's the stark truth. Sometimes we haven't been telling the truth. Sometimes we haven't opened up and shared, even as leaders. Here's one thing that I've found as a statistic. I was at Davis College's homecoming days, and Dr. Padrone used this, and it actually comes from Francis Schaeffer Institute of the Church. 1,000 pastors were studied. 1,000 of those people, all of them, every single one of them had a friend who had burned out in ministry, who had been distracted by sin or the things of the world and have overcome them to such a point that they could no longer keep working as a minister. 77% of those felt like they did not have a good marriage. 90% of those, 89% of those, were surveyed, were considered leaving the ministry at one time. And then out of that 1,000 pastors also, 75% of them felt like they did not do a good enough job as a pastor. I'm telling you this not because I want to shock you or make you sad and be like, oh, the church is going down. I want you to realize that your pastor is a normal person. And he's really normal. I've got stories. I spent time at his house. And he has stories about me, so I'm not going to share too many of them. But as we start to think through, we are co-laborers together, one another in the ministry. Sometimes we are seen as an expert in the field, and sometimes we really do know a little bit more than the people that we serve with. But it isn't our job to be an authority, but a guide. And here at this church, I can honestly say you have a man of God who is a great guide. And I think that gives... And he'll say the same thing that I say. Probably not about the tall, skinny, and white, but just a normal guy loves Jesus. And some of us have really fought through some of these issues. And what I've found more often than not is we get together as other pastors and in other ministries, we get together and we do this. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. God is blessing. And I actually did this last week. I said, you're a liar. I was at a pastor's meeting and I had talked with every single one of the pastors that were there, and every single one of them was really working through some huge issues at their church. And the pastor said, oh, I'm doing good. And I went, liar. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Things are going bad. And the thing I think that we need to realize is that we are all working through the process. Now, chances are you don't have somebody who you can dump guts on every single time they say hi. You just walk up to somebody in the grocery store. Hi, how you doing? I'm horrible. I'm really struggling with my spiritual walk. Can't do that. But National Network of Youth Ministries, what we are trying to do is trying to unite other ministers. Because we have different needs. We have different areas that we have stresses. Our marriages are a little bit more stressed than the average person's marriage. And I would say that in order to get through this, we have got to unite to get together so that we can reach more kids for Jesus Christ. Youth for Christ, our goal for Youth for Christ was just to reach unsaved kids. And as I started working with those kids who didn't know Jesus and starting to plug them into the youth ministries, I started to realize that the insecurities of these kids, just because the kids had insecurities didn't mean that the youth pastors didn't have insecurities. And I started plugging these kids into youth ministries and the youth pastors going, hey, I don't know how to deal with some of these problems. Hey, I don't know, what am I supposed to do when somebody comes to me with this? And I started to realize that as I plugged kids in, we had a whole bunch of people who wanted to show the love of Jesus but didn't really know how to do it. And I started plugging people together and saying, hey, let's get together and let's just pray. And God started doing great things. National Network of Youth Ministries' goal is to start uniting people together so that they can reach people for Christ. And what does that look like? It looks like you've got a whole bunch of people who know Jesus in different areas. Did you know that at your school district here, Shenango Forks School District that this church is in, or Shenango Valley, that there are Christians, or both, there are Christians who work in the school. There are Christian teachers there. There's a Christian administrator, possibly. Did you know that there are people in the fire department, obviously. There are people who are on the police force. There are people who are in churches in this area who also love Jesus Christ. And we started thinking, hey, listen, if we can start focusing everybody together and say, these kids need us to love them in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you can say it out loud, hey, in the name of Jesus, I'm helping you out. Others of us, we are going to actually have to do it and just show the love of Jesus through our actions and not necessarily with our words. A teacher at a school may not be able to be like, hey, Jesus loves you and so do I. Be a little creepy, probably. But they can walk by to see you at the poll event, stop for a few seconds, and just pray with them for a few seconds and walk by. And as we start thinking through this, there's 32 million teens in 65,000 schools in the United States right now. My question is, as National Network of Youth Ministries, how are you blessing the school district that you're in? Are you praying for it? Are you praying for the teenagers that are there? Are you praying for the families of the teenagers who are there? Anybody who works with teenagers says, yeah, man, the teens are easy. It's the families who are crazy. And so as an organization, our goal is to start uniting Christians together to remind us we are co-laborers. We work together to show the love of Jesus in practical ways, but also when the door opens up, to be able to say, I'm just a normal, ordinary person, but I love Jesus, and that's what makes me different. And so as we start to think through National Network of Youth Ministries, as I try to explain it to everybody, our goal is pretty simple. Every school have some sort of a ministry focused on it. The church that we're currently attending has started doing cookies for the teachers in their break room once a month or so. So they will put together a cookie basket and just take it to the administration and say, hey, listen, we know that it's rough. Here's just something to bless you guys with. Another school, actually on the West Coast, the funding has been cut so much that some of the exterior of the school has been in need of some cleanup. And one church volunteered their time. Instead of cleaning up at the church, they volunteered their time and went over to the school district and volunteered to do some house cleaning over there. Now, some of that stuff takes a lot of coordination and thought and follow through. But what can we do if we're doing ministry to our school districts? What could happen if we started to see our pastors and our youth pastors get together and just praying? Just a way that we can start saying, hey, if you're a professional, you probably know three or four people in your own profession that you can get together with to shoot the breeze about stuff with. And my goal is to help youth pastors start to do that. And ultimately is to focus youth pastors on sharing the love of Christ effectively and clearly. Now, here's the thing that I've seen the most and nationally is known. Here in the Northeast, youth pastors aren't here. And so how do you reach volunteer youth workers to share the love of Jesus? And so what we do is we encourage moms and dads and aunts and uncles and old people to simply start loving teens. You might be the only person to encourage a teenager. You might be the only person to listen to a teenager. You might be that person who opens up their house that looks like a trailer smashed into a house to open up your living room on Sunday night to watch VeggieTales and make grilled cheese sandwich and tomato soup, which was my parents. You might be that parent that decides to take a group of your friends, your kids' friends, to go play paintball just because it's something fun to do. You might be that parent that grabs a group of teenagers and goes and works on a car with them, like a pastor that I once knew. I remember driving a car forward and backward as we tried to pull a dent out of Derek's rear quarter panel in that first Jetta that he had. That was so redneck. And one of the things that we do primarily is See You at the Poll. Now, See You at the Poll, if you're familiar with it, here in Wilkes-Barre, we do a See You at the Poll rally. And we challenge students to come out the week before. Actually, next Sunday, we will have about 300 teenagers from 15 or 20 youth ministries get together, and we will do a praise and worship band, and we'll have a couple of the youth leaders challenge them, and just simple, easy, hey, we're going to worship God, and we're going to encourage you guys to go out and worship God too. And when they get together as youth, they think, oh, I'm the only guy from my school. I don't know any other Christians. And they get together with other churches from the area, and they go, wait, you're a Christian? Okay, and you're a Christian too? And then all of a sudden, a kid who feels like they're isolated is now with a group of people from Lake Lehman High School and from Dallas High School and from Wyoming Valley West. And a kid who feels completely isolated and alone, like what the enemy wants to do with all of us, all of a sudden sees that I am not alone and I can stand with people that also believe in Jesus and I can pray. And then you'll hear on Family Life Network or the radio station that's down by us where they start talking to students who've taken the step and gone and just prayed, just simply prayed for their school. And so September 26th is that time where kids were going to unite internationally around their schools and they're going to take the initiative to pray. And so what if us as adults did that around our places of employment? What if we took 30 seconds and just got together with the other Christians that we knew and just said, hey, God, today's going to be rough, but please just help us to make a light for you. What if? And so students around the world are really trying to focus on what is important. The funny thing is because of postmodernism, we get Methodists and Presbyterians and the Assemblies of God and Baptist kids. And you get this whole cross-denominational thing getting together, and they're praying for Jesus to heal their school. And it is something that is just unbelievable to see what God can do at a school. One of the See You at the Polls that I was privileged to be a part of was actually the year I got sick, November of 2006. The year before, Lake Lehman High School had 15 kids at their See You at the Poll, which was huge, by the way. 15 kids is a lot. And Kiefer Moskaluk decided that he was going to start getting his friends together to pray for the school before See You at the Poll. Once again, Christians, normal people, getting together and just praying. Kiefer's See You at the Poll went from 15 to 50 that year. And Kiefer said, boy, I really need to keep this going. So at the breakfast table, he put a little box that said pray on the side of it and put some pieces of paper there. And he guaranteed his friends that if they dropped something in there that was serious, that him and his couple friends would pray for them. And so Kiefer started to do this prayer breakfast thing on Wednesday mornings, and the group of Bible study kids grew to 50, and it grew to be so large that they started to meet in the cafeteria because the rooms couldn't hold them any longer. So Kiefer, as a 17-year-old guy, was leading a youth group that was bigger than me as a 26-year-old guy. And I just kept praying for him and blessing him. And obviously, November 25th of 2006, I got sick. And so I went into the hospital, and a huge chunk of those kids came down into my hospital room, overflowing the hospital room. And I could sit there and say, dude, I am a normal person, and Kiefer's a normal person, but we're pursuing Jesus. And that kid blessed me in more ways than I can tell you. And I was a skinny, white, sick guy on death's bed, you know, and he was still doing ministry. And now Kiefer went to school to be a church planter, and he's in Seattle, Washington right now doing a house church missions plant because he started to pursue Jesus as a normal guy, and God kept opening doors, and God kept using him. And he's still a normal guy, and he's still loving Jesus, and he's still trying to be the best ambassador he possibly can be for Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you that there was multiple of those people that are there, but chances are, as you start to see people focusing on Jesus Christ, the enemy's going, man, I don't like that, and he starts to send distractions left and right. Remember, sin is just simply missing the mark. It's a distraction from what you are called to do. And so as a National Network of Youth Ministries coordinator, my job is to come alongside of people and go, hey, are you staying on target? Are you staying where you need to be? Are you staying focused? And a lot of the times we're mentoring teenagers, but National Network of Youth Ministry also put together this thing called Soul Care, because a lot of youth workers get beat up by parents, not physically, sometimes. I'm just kidding. But youth workers, they see the reality of life. Right now, statistically, I could throw a bunch of statistics out there, but I can tell you that the lostness and aloneness are way off the charts for the teenage years. They feel like there's nobody out there for them. They say 1 in 7 girls will intentionally hurt herself to escape the pain that she feels through the home relationship or the stuff that's going around in her world. 1 in 5 guys will also self-injure, either through punching something or trying to look tough or actually cutting. But that's normal in our world because they have no hope. And we sit and we say, we have hope. How can we show it? I'm not equipped. I'm not young. I'm not cool. I'm not using my Bible on my phone like Wayne is. Guess what? Wayne never had a youth pastor. Wayne had a bunch of old dudes who started hanging around. I blew up one guy's mower like 3 times. His name is Dan Campbell. And he kept loving me and kept hanging out with me. And I don't know why, because I cost him a couple $100 for lawnmowers. Is that me? But I can tell you for sure that normal people invested in my life and changed the course of where I was to be. And so as you sit here and you're like, well, that's a really nice presentation, Wayne. I hope some youth pastor somewhere is really encouraged by you. And I'm like, dude, you missed the point. We are co-laborers together. Because many of you have invested in my life. Many of you have blessed me. Many of you have reached out and hit me in the back of the head when I wasn't paying attention in church. Many of you have looked over at me while I was making paper airplanes or something and kept me on target and kept me focused. So as a result, I am the Mid-Atlantic Regional Coordinator for National Network of Youth Ministries. That sounds really impressive, doesn't it? Shake your head yes. Okay. It's a great way to say I'm a coach. And I'm just coaching youth workers across the board. And we do this through a bunch of different ways. One of the most important ways is through prayer, is to be able to set up a group of people who are going to pray together as youth workers. I don't care if they're volunteer or if they're paid or what it is. I remember even as a 10th grader, a couple of us got together in somebody's living room and started praying as 10th graders. And I think Scott cooked the cardboard on the bottom of one of those frozen pizzas that time. It was awesome. But we got together to pray and do Bible study. Plan a strategy. A lot of the times we don't have things going on in our area because nobody ever says, hey, I want to see this happen. And so what could you do? What area of need do you see? Here's something I tell people all the time. I get people coming to me all the time, and they're like, you know what, Wayne? My church isn't doing this, and I'm getting sick and tired, and I'm going to leave. And I'm like, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit telling you you need to do something about it. Well, my church doesn't see it. Yeah, that's because the Holy Spirit is burdening you to go and do it. But it should be my church's job. It is. You're a part of the church, aren't you? Develop a plan. Sit down with people. Hey, you got a burden for the high school. Do something for them. Man, all I know how to do is bake cookies. Good. Bake cookies for the teacher at the high school. Develop something. Plan local training events. You guys have Davis College here in the area. They do a lot of stuff that is training. They do a lot of outreach. I'm sure that if you wanted to find out how to reach out to your kids better in the area, I'm sure that somebody could do that. Obviously, you're already utilizing that with the Awana programs, as you're having an outside source come in and train you. And you know what you're going to get when you have an outside source come in and train you? A bunch of normal guys who love Jesus. who want to tell you how to love teenagers or children more effectively and how to do it in a proper way. Planned citywide events from many ministries. There was a couple years ago, you had the Billy Graham Association come up and do that also here in the area. And that was right before the flood or right after the flood? So it's amazing to see how tragedy starts to bring the church together. And we start to realize there's certain things we can focus on and certain things we can't. And maybe you're sitting here and you're going, Wayne, teenagers drive me nuts. I don't want to get together with any teenagers. I don't want to talk about teenagers. I'm glad that you're up here talking, but I'm really bored. I'm telling you, you can do this in any area that you see. I mentioned this morning, nursing homes. The most lonely place on the planet, probably. They say that less people go to visit nursing homes than go to visit people in jail. So maybe you're sitting there going, I don't care about the high school, but you can utilize all of this stuff to reach your local nursing home. Maybe your mom or dad is in a nursing home and you say, I need to reach out to them. Chances are you are a normal person with a burden on your heart to reach other people with the love of Jesus Christ, and you just need another person to come alongside you and say, hey, let's do this together. Recruit network members to help reach network objectives. Now, some of this is a visionary thing. I'm a very visionary person, as Pastor Baker can tell you, because I don't return emails all that well. So some of us visionary people need to grab a hold of people who are very administrative. Maybe you've got a dream. I've got a dream. Good. Get somebody that takes good notes and jump on your team. We need each other in order to do ministry. Communicate regularly with state coordinators. My job is to call up the state coordinator. My state coordinator actually works for the Assemblies of God in the Youth Alive department, and his name is Lee Rogers. And I call him up and I say, hey, Lee, how are your guys doing? How are the youth pastors doing in your area? Well, I don't know. I haven't checked with them. Well, guess what, dude? Call a few of them. Because we're all busy. And my job is just to keep up and to focus those guys. And this is why the two are better than one. Because there is more return for their labor. I was working at ServiceMaster and realized this very, very quickly. I was in charge of a bunch of people. And the funny thing was, is when I put three people in a room, there less work got done than when I put two people in a room. Isn't that interesting? I've found that out very quickly, and as I started to see it, I started dividing people up. Didn't matter the size of the room, but I'd only put two people in each room. And two people working together, would work off of each other. That third person always sat back and just kind of watched. There was always one person on break. And so the third strand obviously isn't a third person, but it's the creator of the universe. If we get together and just strategize about stuff, if we as pastors get together and we're like, dude, you'd never believe what's going on at my church. And I'm not sure if Pastor Baker would use the term dude, but just imagine. They're getting together, and if we forget that third most important area is the creator of the universe, if we're not praying, if we're not reaching out to him, we're commiserating with one another. And that's exactly what the world does. That's the heart of gossip. That is the heart of where we are as humans. We want to get together and share exactly the same place. But what happens as believers is we no longer view the world the way we used to view it. We get together and we share those hurts. We share those pains. And then the next thing we do is we pray for one another. We uphold each other. We share something encouraging from the scriptures or from the Psalms or from something that says, hey, listen, I know it's hard. I know you're in over your head, but do not give up. Because Ephesians 6 says, don't get tired of doing good. And as we think about this, Jesus also prays for unity. And so three times in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he asked God, the Father, that the unity of the believers, the fellow believers, that it is so evident that it's like a mirror image of him and his Father. John 13:34 says, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples." It's by your spiffy tie on Sunday morning as you drive to church. No. It's by the cross on the back bumper or the fish. Those people just drive like they know where they're going after they die. The love that we have for one another is what makes it so important. We are a bunch of people who are normal, who are average, but by God's grace have been changed, and we're trying our hardest to reach Jesus with our life, with the way we walk. And the way I reach out to Jesus and my journey is different from yours, and you know why? I need you to keep me on task because I get distracted so much. And you need me to keep you on task because we as a world can get distracted by so many things. So we get together on Sunday mornings and we sing a bunch of hymns and we sing a bunch of songs and we read scripture. And we do that not for to make us, ourselves feel better, not because we have to do it for penance. We do it so that we can stay focused on the task at hand. And we do it so that we can encourage one another and bolster each other up and say, you know what, last week was really tough, but I am here for you. If you need anything, please give me a call. Because the love of Christ does that beyond anything that the world has to offer. No beer or shot of anything can offer that type of encouragement that you'll find at a church. You should find at a church. And once again, going back to, well, you know what? My church isn't doing it. Then maybe it's your job to step up and start. Complete unity so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. Perhaps our weird relationships of really cool camaraderie will be so authentic but so strange to the outside world that they'll be like, I don't know what that is in there, but it's got to be something that's a God thing. And so as we do that, just remember, we're all normal people. Wayne is a normal person. Pastor Baker is a normal person. But we are pursuing Christ with everything that's inside of us. Now, National Network of Youth Ministry also is I raise funds for it. And what has been really interesting for us is the funds from Youth for Christ haven't come over from YFC to National Network of Youth Ministry. And so we are at that weird transition spot where we're like, God, this is exactly where you need us to be. This is exactly what you want us to do. But we got a $240 check for our salary last week, so what can we do? And interestingly enough, there's a church in the area who has asked me to be a campus pastor to help with with a church plant in the Wilkes-Barre area. So it looks like I will be doing a little bit of this voluntarily, but the church that is doing the church plant wants me to continue doing this because they see that if all the churches start to deplete in the area, and this church takes off like a rocket, that does nothing for the body of Christ. And so they're telling me, listen, your job is to bless and to encourage and to network and to keep these guys going. Because if one church takes off as a success and all the other ones fail, that's not success in God's eyes. And so we're at an interesting spot. I believe fully in the ministry of unity and bringing people together. If it hadn't been for people in my life who have grabbed a hold of me and said, hey, let's keep going, I wouldn't be able to do it myself. So please be in prayer. We are actually talking this afternoon with a couple of the pastors in an interview to see if it is a complete fit. And if not, I know God's going to be providing in other ways because he has. And so as you sit here and as you see the tall, skinny, white guy who survived cancer, who loves teenagers and wants to see things happening, I want you to see your own life and say, wow, what area, what network has God blessed me with to reach out and to bless the people around me with Jesus Christ? Maybe you have a network of people, you just have forgotten about the Jesus part. and you got to refocus it on Jesus. Maybe you have never incorporated Jesus in any part of your life, and every part of your life has just been a struggle and frustration, and you felt like nobody has ever been on your side. Well, then you're at the point in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where we used to see Christ this way. Because you have a bunch of people who are around you who want to see you succeed. But it's only when you start to come to Jesus Christ as understanding, I'm broken, I'm messed up, I need you. And I'd love to tell you, once you know Jesus, it's going to be easy. It won't be. It's going to be worse. It'll be a lot harder. But you have people around you who are going to keep you going. And so as we close up, Jesus says he's praying for unity. And I think that the biggest part in here that actually makes me so excited in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is the last verse that says, because God made him who had no sin for us, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God. We do all of this stuff. We get together. We encourage one another because we're convinced that the creator of the universe, although he lived a completely perfect life, came here and took every ounce of sin and exchanged his perfection with my imperfection. So that now no longer God sees me as the wretch that I am, but he sees me as his beloved, a normal, skinny guy who loves Jesus. And so now I work alongside of other people who are normal to share that belief that the God who created everything has exchanged his perfection with my imperfection so that I could have a relationship with him once again. So this morning, I hope that you are on that same journey with me. I hope that you are pursuing Christ. I hope that you are sharing Christ because you are so overwhelmed with his love. And if you're not, what's distracting you? And if there is an area where you think, man, this church needs to start doing this, well, start praying about it. Talk to Pastor Baker about it. He probably won't do it himself. He doesn't have to, because God gave you the passion to do it. Thank you this morning for opening up the pulpit and letting us share. And like Karen said, we have a lot of stories about the year. I did a lot of coaching water skiing, a lot of speaking at camps, a lot of normal youth ministry stuff that we didn't want to just tell you all that stuff and show you slides. We actually wanted to show you what God has been impressing on us from God's word and how we feel like we need to come together so we can reach our world for Jesus Christ. So we'll look forward to chatting with you at the lunchtime, and we'll close in prayer. Father God, we are thankful that you love us. We are thankful that no matter where we've been or what we've experienced, God, that you have forgiven and you have redeemed us. And God, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to stay focused on that task. God, help us to be able to remember when times get tough that you are right next to us and that you want us to be in fellowship with other believers who are keeping us going. So, Father, thank you so much for the fellowship of believers here who have blessed us along the way. And, God, may you bless them and keep them, make your face shine about them, and be gracious to them. And may you abundantly deepen their faith in you. And, God, may they be a lighthouse and a beacon of hope to the world that's around them. And, Lord, I pray that you would just bring many people to yourself through this body. And we just thank you for what you've done through them in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we can pray. Amen.